He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to a new trading week in the market. It is the last day of May, and this is Bill Gunderson. What is it, May? Go away in May? Well, we'll see. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and been a professional money manager for the last 23 years. I'm here with Barry Keit, a chartered financial analyst. Did I say I was a chartered financial? No, I'm not. Barry is. This is a beginning of a new week.
You've got enough experience to be, Bill.
Yeah, so probably. You know, those school smarts are different in the trenches, you know.
Right.
Okay, well, this is Gunderson Capital Management. I'm president of Gunderson Capital Management. And you know what? So much for that ending of the seven-week losing streak. Well, we'll see. It's only Tuesday. It's a shortened week, but we're off to a pretty poor start in the market so far today. And, you know, we still own most of our inverse funds. We only sold one here recently. Right now, the Dow down 369, down 1.1%. The S&P is down 48. That's 1.2%. The S&P is at 4109. The Dow is at 32,836. The NASDAQ is down 1.3%, which puts the NASDAQ at 11,971. The Russell 2K is down 22. That puts it at 1.2. Here's the story today. Crude oil up $3.81. We'll talk about that in a bit. 118.88. I haven't said that for a while. Gold is down $1.60. The 10-year's at 2.85, and good old Bitcoin is up 866, back above 30,000, 31,346. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management. President of Gunderson Capital Management, and Barry Keit, Chartered Financial Analyst. And this is the end of May today, and we've got 4 weeks left in the second quarter of 2022. Will it be a negative GDP quarter? That will be interesting to watch. Then we would officially be in a recession from a textbook standpoint. But the big story today, and it doesn't surprise me, you know, we're having a really good day today between our inverse funds and our heavy weighting in energy stocks. Can you believe? I can. Oil is up $3.81 again today, and we are now at $118.88 on crude.
I can believe it from the gas tank perspective. I saw your note this morning in terms of what it was at the harbor this weekend.
Well, I don't know if they just jacked it up for Memorial Day weekend or if that's the new normal. But, you know, I went out to one of the reefs over the weekend, took a crew. They were all seasick by the time we got there. I was the only one. I just don't get seasick. And I couldn't stay very long. He had to turn around and come back. But we burnt some gas. I said, well, let's fill up on the way in. $7.57 per gallon at the fuel dock at Patriots Point in the Charleston Harbor. I was shocked. I couldn't believe it. I said, well, we'll just fill them half full this time. Wow. I mean, I don't know. Is this by design? Are they trying to get us out of our cars? I can't go to an electric boat. They get about 2 miles, you know. I mean, that's their range right now is 2 miles. You know, I'm going to have to resort to a sailboat here pretty soon. But That's the way it is on this Tuesday, May 31st.
Paddle boat.
Yeah, get pedal out there.
Yeah, pedal.
Good exercise, but it'd take me 4 days. $118.88 today on crude oil. The market not liking it. I guess that's the bad news. I think the good news in the market is that China is coming back to work. China's down to 100. There's no way you can believe the numbers that they report. There's no way in heck that you can believe the numbers they report. All of a sudden, Shanghai only has 100 positive tests for COVID, Omicron. And so they're opening back up. Well, you know what? That's going to put pressure on inflation. It's going to put pressure on oil prices. That was probably the only thing that was holding it down in the 115 area. But it is good news that, you know, maybe that will help some of the supply chain issues out there. One of the guys I took fishing with me on Saturday, he owns a logistics company, Barry, down on the port. He has 20 independent drivers and trucks offloading those ships, and I learned a lot from him. He said there's plenty of diesel around, and diesel's not going away. This is according to him now, okay? And he said it's just kind of a ploy to get prices up. So that was him. And I also asked him, I said, what do you think the future of electric autonomous trucks are? He doesn't buy into it. Okay. He's about a 35-year-old kid that owns these this trucking company down by the harbor.
Yeah, and he's in it, so he knows what can.
Yes.
He knows the capabilities of what can happen with one of those things or not, right?
Yeah, and he talks to a lot of people in the industry. You know how many trucks service that. Listen, when I was coming in, I had to pass and go around a freighter. I've never seen a freighter that big. I know our port is now configured for the biggest freighters in the world carrying those containers from China. It was just unbelievable how many containers were on that ship. And he told me that they unload those containers and only about 15% of them go back. I said, what becomes of all the containers? He says, they're growing. The container inventory, he says they can't afford to ship a container back empty with the shipping rates. And he also told me that our harbor, you know how we expanded and put in a new big entry point there on the Cooper River? He said there's a big fight between the longshoremen and the port of Charleston. And that thing's going unused, basically. Only thing they're using it for is to store empty containers right now. So there's a supply chain problem, okay,
right.
You know? It's just everywhere you look, there's some kind of an issue. So anyways, interesting day, interesting weekend. We broke the losing streak, seven straight weeks. We finally broke it, but we're off to a very bad start here on this last day of May, and I'm going to blame rising oil prices because that's going to put the pinch in a lot of industries. Anybody who receives something by truck, which is about every industry, I don't care if you're a Denny's restaurant or a Waffle House or a Gap store, it's all coming in by truck, and they've got to pass those costs on to somebody. And unfortunately, when you scan those items at the check register, it's you that is going to absorb that cost.
Well, in the euro area, too. Euro area's inflation topped a fresh record of 8.1% for the month, which is, of course, they're way behind the curve in terms of interest rates.
So. Yeah, I was going to say, they have not been doing anything to address inflation. I mean, it's like, what? You think you're immune from inflation? Well, our Fed just went up 50 basis points. They haven't done anything. And on top of that, they finally agreed to ban most Russian crude oil imports. That's probably the reason you're seeing the gas prices jump here today. Brent crude went to 100. Let's see, 119 is ours, but theirs went even higher than that.
Yeah, it went as high as 126 this morning.
Oh, man. And the national average for a gallon of gas is hovering around $462. $4.62 per gallon, at your local truck stop. And, of course, it, on the harbor, they have you over a barrel, literally, unless you have a boat that you can put on a trailer. I mean, that's a hassle. Put it on a trailer and go to the gas. Most people have to do that, though. You know, I don't even have a trailer. I keep
my boat. You
got
to fill your truck up while you're dragging that boat around at the same time. So it's
and
really,
run
you
a,
two tanks.
I'm going to run a line from my car to my boat because it's a lot cheaper at the gas station. Okay, so the EU leaders, pretty soon it'll be a 90% ban of Russian crude oil. OPEC is scheduled to meet on Thursday, but the producer group still looks set to rebuff Western calls for speeding up increase of their oil output. Yeah, they're not going to listen to us. Are you kidding me? Our best defense is to pump our own gas in North America. All right, this is Bill Gunderson and Barry Cott. A lot of news in the market today to go over. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stock Show, Best Stocks Now Show. Well, you know, the market has improved a little. The Dow's down 220 right now. The NASDAQ's down 106. That's all about up about a half a percent off the bottom there so far this morning. So we're seeing some buying coming into this sell-off. That's a good sign. And we'll see if it can continue. All right, let's take a look here. Let's go back to that European inflation story. That's not good. Eurozone inflation hits a record high for the month of May, putting pressure on the ECB, European Central Bank, and ECB President Christine Lagarde on speeding up the process to raise interest rates in order to combat the soaring levels. And I don't know why they haven't been very active. They've done very little. They've continued with quantitative easing, and but now it's starting to hit and get, well, it's already there, but it's getting worse. And, you know, so you're going to have central banks around the world raising interest rates, which definitely puts the brakes on the economy, the global economy. Home prices maintain strong price of increases in March. Case-Shiller Index, that's 21.2% year-over-year on your home, Barry. That's better than the S&P 500 for sure over the last 12 months. But I'm starting to see, I think I read that Zillow now, one out of five homes for sale are starting to be dropped in price. And the bidding wars are kind of going away. You know, eventually, that's the demand destruction. There's two things. Things have become unaffordable, number one. Inflation's taking a bite, number two. And I guess the third one would be rising interest rates, where you have a 30-year mortgage now over 5%. So it hasn't cooled the housing market off yet. I think it's happening, though, Barry. Don't you think in coming months we're going to start to see that housing market really cool off?
Certainly, yeah. I mean, and by design, right? I mean, it's one of these things, like you said, where, you know, at some point those rates will have an effect on the amount of the amount that people can pay. Period, right? Because the bank's not going to give you the money to pay for that particular space. You're either coming to the table, right, with more.
Yeah,
more down, or you're not making that purchase. So it's and I think what'll really slow down likely is is just the housing turnover, right? You had folks selling a home, moving to another home. They weren't kind of trading up or trading sideways just into another spot. You know, the other big thing was folks selling in one part of the country. Take California, for example, and then moving to you know, parts of Texas are moving to Arizona, where they're, you know, selling a house for a lot, a pretty penny, right? And
yes.
and then able to buy, you know, more of a house, and you know, a lot of times still have money in their pockets at that point in time. But, you know, eventually, you know, that whole trade, right, or fuel, you know, that kind of runs out. Because otherwise, at this point, if you were going to sell your house and do that, right, you would have already done that. So
yeah.
It's kind of one of these things that by design will, you know, kind of burn itself out, right? And then,
yep.
And the other thing is, I think it's important is, you know, one of the things that has kind of buoyed, I think, prices also is, you know, one in five homes last year was purchased by an institution or a
yep.
financial buyer.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
The REITs.
Yep, and so some of their money, you know, some of their money will dry up, but at the same time, I do think it's, you know, it also keeps, I think the quality of mortgage out there in terms of who borrowed the money is certainly much better than like an 08, 09 type of situation. So,
well,
it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah, we've got President Biden's plan. He's laid out his plan to fight inflation. Okay, I remember Gerald Ford. That was one of those elections that was around inflation, really. And Gerald Ford was wearing a big button that said, win, whip inflation now, because it was horrendous. And this is almost as bad as back then, and it could get a lot worse if it's not put under control. But I got to be honest. Well, I'll read his three ideas, okay, and you tell me will it work or not. Here's number one. Here's President Biden's strategy to beat inflation, to whip inflation. Now keep in mind that the consumer price, let's see,
consumer confidence fell less than expected, but still fell nonetheless.
Yes, and the personal consumer expenditures, that's the Fed's favorite inflation gauge, rose 6.3% in April from a year earlier. It actually decelerated a little bit. But that's three times the central bank's inflation target of 2%, okay? So here's his plan. He says the price at the pump is elevated in large part because of Russian oil, gas, refining capacity off the market. Okay, I don't buy that myself.
It was high beforehand.
Yeah, I mean, we have a war on our... all right, so we can't let up on our global efforts to punish Mr. Putin. So, I mean, so far, I don't see where the plan is. This is his strategy number one, is to tell us that it's because of Russia. Well, here was his plan. That is why I led the largest release from global oil reserves in history. And Congress could help right away by passing clean energy tax credits investments that I have proposed. But you know what? That's not going to bring down
That's
oil prices.
Not a, I mean, he'll be out. Before those investments actually come online, you know, I mean, he'll
yes.
be in office. I mean, you only have so many years.
And the release from the oil reserves was 10 days worth of oil. Okay. Number two, he has a 3-point plan. That was number one, which I see absolutely no impact whatsoever. Number two. We can reduce the cost of everyday goods by fixing broken supply chains. Well, he's had 2 years, and I have seen nothing, no efforts whatsoever. They interview that guy he's the head of the port of Long Beach. There's nothing. Nothing has gotten better whatsoever. And cracking down on the exorbitant fees that foreign ocean freight companies charge to move product. He can't crack down on foreign ocean freight companies. And then he says, my housing supply action plan will make housing more affordable by building more than 1 million more units, closing the housing shortfall in the next 5 years, and we can reduce the price of prescription drugs by giving Medicare the power to negotiate with. This is just all stuff I've heard before, capping the cost of insulin. Well, that's not really what's causing inflation, you know.
And I don't need insulin at our house, thankfully, right? Knock on wood,
gas,
so that's not going to help.
And then lastly, we need to reduce the federal deficit. Well, it came down this year because, you know, we're not doing the big spending on COVID. And go after the tax cheaters. Okay, that's his three-point plan to whip inflation now. Will it work? Well, gas is $4.73 today. Write that down, and we'll see where it is 6 months from now. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show with the professional money manager Bill Gunderson and chartered financial analyst Barry Keit. We've got, a lot on the energy. It just seems like most of the stories these days are energy related. Electric vehicle stocks gain after China eases some restrictions in Shanghai and Beijing. And I keep waiting for the electric vehicles to be rolling off the line from Ford, GM, you know, Stellantis, Chrysler. They're not rolling off the line. The lots are empty. The showrooms are empty. I guess they're waiting to fill them up with electric cars. Where are they? China's rolling them out. Elon Musk is rolling them out. But I don't see them coming off the line. We're still with a Chevy Volt from GM. Okay, we talked about Brent crude. That's not good. Well, and there was a hurricane, too, and it may regroup, Barry, and come up the Atlantic. We'll see. It's the earliest hurricane number two that we've had. It was a number two came ashore in Mexico.
And it was on the Pacific side.
Yeah, but they're saying it could cross over and regroup. And I don't know, you know, but that supposedly, okay, I have a friend, he works for the NOAA, NOAA, and he said, you never know, but he said they're predicting a pretty active hurricane season. So we had a little drill yesterday, you know, in church. Well, I guess it was Sunday. Of how to get ready. That's a big thing out here in South Carolina, you know. Okay, let's see. Now, oil majors little hurt by the UK windfall tax. Now, you know, Boris Johnson completely flip-flopped on that. I don't know who put the pressure on him, but the windfall tax on energy companies. Here the UK is crying for energy. The tax marks a sudden U-turn for Prime Minister Boris Johnson, who had criticized the notion of clobbering the companies that we need to make investments in our domestic energy. And we keep talking about that bridge. You know, that's a longer bridge than, I don't know if they had anticipated a bridge that long to get from you know, in the areas that we can to get from fossil fuels to green energy.
You're going to have to recharge your car to get all the way across the bridge.
Yeah, or have an extension cord that, you know, is that long, like a 2 mile. But anyways, it's a bad situation everywhere I look. And now they're hunting for oil refining capacity in America. The president is asking oil refiners and the integrated companies to restart idled refineries. And we learned that in Germany that they were restarting coal plants, okay, coal energy producing. And we learned in California they're doing everything they can now to stop the Diablo Canyon nuclear power plant from closing. And now California, because of the droughts, they get about, I think, 15% of their energy from dams and hydroelectric. The problem is it takes water to run hydroelectric plants, and their dams are almost empty. You've seen the pictures of Lake Mead there by Las Vegas, and I read that Lake Shasta, which is one of the biggest ones in California, is like one-third full, the second lowest level it's ever been. So now you've got all of these guys, hey, we need refining. Hey, we need coal power plants, at least to get across this long bridge. And we need refineries. So that's a big, big problem. Oil refining capacity in the U.S. has been in decline for several years, but the demand has remained the same. If anything, the demand's gone up. And capacity fell rapidly in recent years as with government incentives to convert large oil refineries to very small biodiesel plants. I know they're doing that in California. They're taking a major oil refinery there in the Bay Area and converting it to a small biodiesel plant.
That's the Chevron one, isn't it? Oakland side, right?
Yep, I've passed that thing many times.
And it's always been a sore they've always had kind of a bad relationship as you can imagine with the community up that way.
Yeah, they don't like fossil fuels even though they're crossing the bridge, you know, to go to work, but they do have a lot of mass transit there. And there's a lot of Teslas. That's probably the Tesla capital of the world there. Not only are they built there, but they are also they're also very popular there. And of course, you know, the whole work from home thing has also caused a lot less people on the road. Not here. Do you notice any change in traffic here? I don't think there's many people working from home.
It gets worse by the day.
It gets worse by the day here as people are leaving places like California. For whatever reason, I meet a lot of people here that are from the Northeast or the Northwest, I mean. Mm-hmm. Seattle,
yep.
Oregon, Washington.
And part of it has to do with Boeing because their old capital of the world, right? Boeing.
Yeah.
And now they've kind of moved some of those operations here. But yeah, it's amazing how far people will travel
from here. And of course, we're from California. Okay, Equinor. We know a little bit about this stock. They are resuming operation of their LNG plant.
Yeah, it's been shuttered for a while.
They are.
I've been, yeah.
After a 20-month outage, they had a fire, okay, in Hammerfest, their liquefied natural gas plant in Norway. I talked to my Norwegian buddy at church on Sunday. I gave him a high five. I said, Norway to the rescue, coming through to help out Europe with their crunch. And to try to replace that Russian oil, Equinor stock has just been on a roll. And that is one of our larger positions. So everybody is, you know, LNG is the big thing right now. That's the hot ticket. Our LNG stocks have really done well here.
It just seems more and more, the more I look at it, the more research I do, it seems like that's going to be the bridge.
That's the bridge.
You know? I mean, it really is. So.
Yes, and the LNG ships, the LNG pipelines, etc. Okay, now, while we're waiting for electric cars, do you know that lithium has skyrocketed nearly 500% during the last year? Have you looked at SQM lately, the stock we gave up on? SQM, you know, when Chile, of course, Chile's always leaned socialist pretty much. But when Chile, basically a Marxist, I mean a student protester demonstrator, was elected as their president in Chile, that stock just got clobbered.
Yeah, and you can see it even on the year chart. You can see that, like, dropped off a cliff towards the end of the year.
And we ran because, you know, how can you not think Venezuela in the back of your mind? But since then, that is my number one ranked stock in the app.
Well, when they own, the other thing that's kind of scary there is, of course, they own a good portion of that company and can frankly take it away at any time.
Oh yeah, and they can organize strikes, you know, and all shut down. But all of this, the price of lithium. Now, there's plenty of lithium stocks here in America. Livent had a huge day on Friday. LTHM. And there's, Lithium of America, LAC. There's a lithium ETF, LIT, LIT. I didn't know that lithium was up 500% because of tight supply and rising demand for electric vehicles. But here's the deal. The electric vehicles have not really even come online yet. What's going to happen when they start rolling off the line at Ford and GM to replace the combustion engine cars? What's lithium going to do then?
They're going to have a discovery, kind of like a QuantumScape, right? I mean, you know, QuantumScape had been working to improve battery, you know, improve the battery.
They want to go to solid state.
Yeah, and so, I mean, you're almost going to have some type of technological advance, in my opinion, to get to where you want to go, unless you just find some, you know, bunch of lithium just laying around that no one knew was there.
Yeah.
And there's only, I mean, you mentioned the Great Lake, before, Great Salt Lake, and how, you know, you can get, there's some to get
converting
there.
Converting it.
But,
yes.
I mean, it's still not a, it's not an easy proposition.
And we'll close on this note for this quarter, and we'll be back with the stocks that are popping off the page. While everything else is going up, the earnings company, the earnings report of the week last week was Sanderson Farms. Listen to this. They reported earnings of $14.39 for the quarter, up $6.23. What's that going to do to a chicken sandwich at Chick-fil-A? They produce chickens. Inflation everywhere we look. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back with the stocks that are popping.
You gotta go where you wanna go and do what you wanna do.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, despite the big sell-off in the market, and this has been a pattern more days than not, more trading days than not in 2022, is you can have a big sell-off in the market, and yet the energy stocks, coal, oil, natural gas, the shipping stocks, etc., fertilizer, commodities. The commodity sector is the number one sector by far in the market this year. It's ranked number one of the 33 asset classes that I track in the Best Stocks Now app. I use DBC as my proxy there. That's the one I use in the as an asset class. I rank it against the other 32 asset classes, and it's at the top of the heap, and it has been all year long. And today is no exception. Once again, you've got a big down day in the market. It's improved quite a bit, though. Maybe we've gained back half of our loss from the open. But the oil and gas stocks are absolutely scorching up the track once again. One that we've talked about quite a bit, Borr Drilling, B-O-R-R, a Bermuda-based company that provides offshore drilling services to the oil and gas industry worldwide. That stock is hitting a new 52-week high today. Relative strength is 99, according to MarketSmith, 99 relative strength. The company has not been profitable yet, so it's a company that's very strong, a lot of buying, a lot of relative strength, but the earnings are not there yet. Let's just take a look at their sales. I'm sure their sales are booming. Yeah, their sales in the most recent quarter were up 69% year over year, and I think they reported earnings today, and that's why the stock on four times normal volume, it's up 12.2% today. Okay, one of our favorites, because we really like the refining stocks. Obviously, if the president is clamoring for the refiners to find more capacity or to get more refineries online, that's one of the hottest groups out there. We also like the Canadian stocks. You know, I don't think Trudeau, because it's such a big part of their economy. I mean, they're a commodity-driven country, Canada. A vast percentage of their GDP is from the commodities. They're rich in natural resources, whether it's timber, oil, gold, silver, lithium. I mean, you name it, diamonds. Well, anyways, Cenovus Energy CVE is one of our favorite Canadian stocks. They're involved in oil slash natural gas exploration. It's a $48 billion company. Look at that thing breaking out today. There was news on CNovus. Let me look. They're my favorite stock in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Let's see. The news today on CVE was POPs on a plan to restart their West White Rose project. Okay. They're going to restart a field offshore Newfoundland and Labrador. There's a couple projects there. It's a $3.2 billion expansion project. It's around 65% complete. It was stalled for 2 years following a pandemic-related market collapse, but now they're going to start that back up again.
65% complete. Like, what does that look like?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, well, let's finish it, guys. Yeah. Okay. And Suncor, SU, has taken a big stake in it. All of a sudden, you know, it makes sense from a... But I think the biggest issue is here is that Canada is going to allow them. I'm surprised Canada hasn't put a stop to that project because, of course, the Trudeau administration is very much against fossil fuels, and he has people. He has a climate czar. But apparently the need for oil and gas right now is more important than that. And so CVE, that thing pays a dividend, I'm sure, also. The dividend yield on CVE, 1.4%. Suncor is a good stock, too, SU. So for all you Canadians, we have a lot of Canadian listeners, I'm a big fan of Canada myself. Ah, Gordon Lightfoot. I still love Gordon Lightfoot. How many times have I listened to the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald? I think of about every time I leave the harbor in my little boat, you know. Anyways, I'm a Gordon Lightfoot. Joni Mitchell, of course, and other Canadian bands, and Calgary Flames, and I used to watch Canadian football. So a big shout-out to all our friends up north of us, and they can really help out. I don't want to turn to Venezuela. I don't want to turn to Iran. I want to turn to Calgary, for heaven's sakes. CVE, they're not going to shoot missiles at us, I don't think, from Calgary. Anyways, and the third one, you know, there's a big interest in the solar again. I don't know. Every time I buy into the solar stocks, they go for a little while and then they tank again. But there seems to be the number one sector right now in the market, or in the top four or five, is the solar sector, TAN, T-A-N. And, you know, some of the better end phase is rocking. Canadian Solar, CSIQ, is popping today. So those are the three that we'll feature here today, CVE, BORR, B-O-R-R, CSIQ would be the third one, Canadian Solar. Okay, well, it's going to be a busy week. If you're in, you know what else doesn't look good today? The bond funds do not look good today. Big sell-off in the bond market today, and that's going to continue as interest rates go higher. You may want to talk to us. You could be in all the wrong places in the market right now. But I think even worse yet is nobody's doing anything about it. That's got to be frustrating. You can reach us at 855-611-BEST for a second opinion, 855-611-BEST. I put out a newsletter Friday evening, Friday night, that's got what we're in, our current portfolios, and our current outlook for the overall market. That goes to my clients and subscribers only, but we'll give you 2 free weeks. At GundersonCapital.com. That's GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.